coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us today Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Foundation, and Paul's been back in Washington, D.C. now for well over a generation. He was an old-timer there when Ronald Reagan came into power, and he's always been on the side of trying to preserve our freedom, trying to limit the power of government, trying to get responsible people into the houses of the Congress and the Senate. Paul, thank you so much for being with us today.
Delighted to be with you, Stan.
Well, what are the really important issues that we should be addressing today, you know, as we look at the political perspective back there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, there are a number of them. I happen to think that the homosexual marriage issue is very important from a cultural standpoint. I think that certain issues relating to the Patriot Act are not being properly dealt with by the administration, and I don't know that George Bush, if reelected, would misuse his power, but I sure know that if we get President Hillary Clinton, or even President John Kerry, that the opportunity is going to be there to, in some way, misuse this act. And it needs to be reined in by the Congress. And unfortunately, the Congress doesn't seem to want to do anything about it.
Well, so many of the conservatives, though, say this is a wonderful act. We have to have the Patriot Act. And anybody who speaks out against it, like you're doing, will be equated with being pro-terrorist, pro-Arab, anti-American. And I share your concerns. I think this is a very dangerous precept that we will give up our freedom in the name of protecting our freedom.
Well, that's exactly right. there are a few things that could be done. I mean, you know, I agree that the part of the Patriot Act which mandates sharing of information between the different agencies, CIA, FBI, so on, is absolutely essential. And the fact that they didn't share information was an outgrowth of the Frank Church hearings in the 1970s, where, you know, he basically helped put our intelligence system out of business. He disclosed several agents, and you know, people were afraid to be an agent, and then the legislation came that these agencies had an iron wall. You know, the FBI had to have something domestic that they could share with local police, but they couldn't share it with the CIA. The CIA had, you know, foreign activity, but they were not able to pass it on to the FBI and so on. And you know, that part of the act I support, and I think every good American should support it. But in that act, they do not define what a terrorist is.
And I really think that's so frightening. Here we have a whole attack, a whole new body of law dealing with terrorism, and they never define what a terrorist is. They never once mentioned Islamic terrorism. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Weyrich. We Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Foundation, and Paul has been back in Washington, D.C. For more years than I can remember, leading the move, the conservative move, really to limit the power of government. And, of course, we were just talking about what some of the issues are that really face us today, and one of the things that Paul has brought up is the Patriot Act, and he's concerned that many of the provisions in the Patriot Act really threaten our individual freedom, and even if George Bush is reelected, well, but what would happen if Hillary Clinton or even John Kerry had these draconian powers? And Paul was just saying he agrees with some of the act, but certainly there are parts of the act that really bother him. Would you like to discuss what those parts of the act are that you were concerned about, and I think every American should be concerned about?
Well, it starts right at the definition of who is a terrorist and what constitutes terrorism. I'm concerned about this because the way it stands right now, the Attorney General makes that determination, and the a new Attorney General, just like we had Janet Reno, you know, could come in and say, well, people who disagree with government policies are terrorists. And you and I, Stan, regardless of who is in power, are probably going to have some disagreements with the party in power. I mean, I have disagreements with the Bush administration very strongly, even though I support his reelection. But, you know, if that gets changed, then all of a sudden you and I become the terrorists. And then there is the ability to track us down, imprison us without any rights. I mean, you know, it is a very draconian piece of legislation.
Because they were so intentionally vague in what the terrorist was, and not one mention of the word Islamic terrorist there, and it's so vague that, as you say, they could define anybody as a terrorist. I don't think, why would they have put such vague wording in there? Why weren't they specific? This was about Islamic terrorism, and not people who disagreed with government.
Well, that bill was rushed through. They had tried to get a bill similar to that through the Congress the previous year. Congress said, not on your life. We're not going to do it. But in the hysteria following 9/11, Congress wanted to be seen as doing something. You know, they
hold that thought right there. We're going to have to bring our other stations right back with us.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich. We're talking about the Patriot Bill and how it came about, and Paul is saying that in the hysteria following the 9/11 attack, why Congress, which had repudiated many of the concepts that were in the Patriot Bill the previous year when they tried to get it through, was more or less stampeded into passing this very, really, truly draconian legislation. Would that be a fair statement?
That is absolutely a summary of what I just said.
Right. Go ahead. Well, the people out there, some of the people listening across the nation didn't hear that, so you pick it up and go from there.
Well, we have to define what is a terrorist and what constitutes terrorism. We need to have that definition in law. It should not be up to the Attorney General to make that determination. I talked to John Ashcroft about it, and he said he was open to discuss the matter. I don't know how far discussions are going to get, but my colleague Steve Lilienthal and I certainly intend to take up the matter. Because if we could get it pinned down in law, then there would not be the possibility of an attempt by an attorney general to change what terrorism is about. You will recall that as the millennium was approaching, 2000, that Janet Reno, in her website, cited fundamentalist Christians as people who were potentially dangerous. Because some of them believed that Christ might come again or whatever. You know, there was absolutely no basis for that. But nevertheless, she put it on her website, and God knows how many people absorbed that and said, oh my gosh, those people are dangerous.
Well, not only that, but we saw the brochure that the FBI put out in Phoenix, and we have that posted on my website, and they list the who the terrorists are. They're people like, they talk about the Constitution. I couldn't believe, and there are people who think, you know, that there may be a second coming, something of that sort. And but, you know, there was just not one thing about Islamic terrorism, and this was in the year 2000. Did they not know there was an Islamic terrorist threat, or were they focusing the attention on the Christians, which is exactly what they were doing on that website?
Yes, in my opinion, you're quite correct.
So there really are people within the administration who hate the Christians in our society, and if they were in power, they might very well then twist the wording of this vaguely worded law, and of course it could target anybody they wanted to.
Well, right now, I don't think that the people in charge hate Christians or want to target them.
No, but there are other people.
But I'm worried about, you know, who is the next administration. My good friend, John Zogby, the pollster, the one pollster who was correct in 2000 and 2002, has flatly stated that John Kerry will be the next president of the United States.
Oh, God help us.
Now, I'm not prepared to accept that, but he has stated it. He has practically put his career on the line for it, because every sign is there to dump an incumbent. I mean, I wrote a piece today in which I suggested that if Bush wins re-election, it'll be because God wants him to. I mean, it's really that bad. Well, you know, we don't know where John Kerry stands on all of this kind of stuff. I suspect that he's not going to be favorable to us. But, you know, if he comes in, will he give Christians and conservatives a fair shake, or will he go after us?
Well, he is certainly the most liberal of all the senators in the United States Senate, at least his voting record is.
Liberal is not as concerning to me in this context as is where he stands on constitutional rights.
Well, that certainly is the very crux of the issue.
Because you look at Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, for example. He's almost as liberal as Kerry. But he will join with conservatives on a number of occasions to, you know, to work on issues involving the Bill of Rights. And, you know, I think we could count on him as an ally on some of this stuff. So you don't want to just look at the voting record and say, oh, you know, he's a terrible liberal, we can't do anything, because there are some, you know, quote, very good conservatives, unquote, who wouldn't be worth a nickel in any fight with the administration.
Well, of course, Paul, you're a lot closer to what goes on back there than I am, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the important thing is, they may be liberal, but do they support the Constitution? Are they concerned about excess government control of our lives? And we would have to side with them, certainly, rather than the conservative Republican who wants all power in the government. Those are the people who really scare me.
You got it. That's exactly right. And forgive me, but my good wife just gave me a nice bowl of ice cream, and I'm trying to.
Well, you go right ahead.
Down but, between.
All right. Well, that's perfectly all right. I hope you enjoy that. Anyway, of course, I think this is one of our major concerns: is this progressive erosion of freedom under the guise of fighting terrorism? And my concern is that in the process of fighting terrorism, why Osama bin Laden could win. He could destroy the foundations of this freedom, which is based upon our Constitution and the limitations of the police state power of the federal government. And I see this police state power growing at every turn in the Office of Homeland Security, which incidentally was planned long before the 9-1-1 attack. That's part three of the report of the National Commission on Terrorism in the 21st Century, which is put out by a group I think 14 commissioners, 13 of them came from the Council on Foreign Relations, just by coincidence, of course, but they have recommended essentially what we have today. And this is this consolidation of power, and then, of course, getting the federal government to work with our local authorities, and by so doing, doing away with this concept of federalism that was the foundation of our freedom. And I'm just talking here to give you a chance to get some of that ice cream down. Please pick up the story from there, Paul.
You are exactly right. The expansion of the government has been incredible. The other night, President Bush came and spoke to the American Conservative Union, an organization which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Founded in 1964, the time of the Goldwater era. Well, Bush got a romping, stomping reception, but not from my old colleague, Don Devine. Don Devine, who was director of personnel in the Reagan administration, who was part of Bob Dole's presidential campaign, for what that was worth, and who has been around. I served on a foundation board with him in 1973. So he's been around for a long period of time.
That's 30 years ago.
That's right. Like me, he's in his early 60s, and he refused to stand for Bush, even though he was at the head table, because he's one of the founders of ACU and one of its key players over the years. He also refused to shake Bush's hand when they had the VIP reception, you know, where they get to snap a picture and everything else. I give him credit for it in that he is so alarmed by what he sees as an expansion of government that he did not feel as if he could be hypocritical about it. Somebody told me the other day that adultery in the scriptures, in the New Testament, is mentioned only a couple of times, but hypocrisy 44 times. Now, I don't know if that's accurate, but in any case, certainly hypocrisy is a great sin, and we see it practiced every day here in Washington. So I give him credit for standing up for what he believes in. Now, some people said, well, that wasn't polite because, you know, you have to salute the office of the presidency. But I think it's time that Bush understands that there are a group of people who, as much as we may admire certain aspects of his leadership, do not respect the enormous expansion of federal power that is occurring under this administration.
Well, one of the things that really concerns me is the total fiscal irresponsibility, and even Alan Greenspan is talking about this massive deficit, and there is just no way that through the normal mechanism we can counter this, and there's many people there are really concerned that this could lead to the destruction of our economic system. Have you looked into this at all?
I have. I don't quite share the pessimism in that respect, because Bush has managed to get through two massive tax cuts. We have seen that every time there are tax cuts, we get a great expansion in government revenue. Look in the state of Virginia, for example. Earlier in the year, the Republican-controlled legislature, being prodded by Governor Mark Warner, a Democrat, passed a $1.3 billion tax increase.
You're going to have to cut that. Wait just a moment here.
All right.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn, their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy.
Leading edge dentists know the profound.
In America today, unnecessarily, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when we have to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for them. We can just simply tell you that an awful lot of people who use these products swear by them, and they say that they help them in many ways. We have some people who claim that they help their rashes or their acne. We have some people who use the gel for the lotions and the lotion for itching or for aches and pains and just rub it on joints. I don't know whether it works or not. All I can tell you is an awful lot of people feel it works. I know my wife does. And, of course, I've used the gel and the moisturizing soap for a couple of years now. I wouldn't be without it. And so all we could do is suggest you try the Miracle 2 soap products. You might be surprised. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a very alkaline neutralizing solution, which many people take on a regular daily basis for heartburn. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Paul Weyrich, and we're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I was expressing concern about what is happening as far as the massive deficit. It's going to be probably in the neighborhood of $550 billion for the year 2004, and that's independent of all the money they're going to steal from Social Security and Medicare. And Paul is saying, well, you know, tax cuts, though, the important thing is we've had two tax cuts, and I'm all in favor of cutting taxes. I really think this is how you stimulate the economy. But Paul was beginning to say what had happened. What was that in the state of Virginia?
The state of Virginia, the legislature enacted a $1.5 billion tax increase because, we were having this terrible crisis and we, you know, had to have budget cuts and everything, and to avoid this, why we you know, had to enact this stringent tax increase, which, by the way, was a lot smaller than what the Republican-controlled Senate wanted. They wanted to pass a $3 billion tax increase. Well, guess what? There is no budget crisis. Because the economy has been stimulated, and because there are more and more people finding work and so on, there now is no need for that tax increase. The budget is going to be balanced based on existing revenues. Now, do you think the governor and the legislature are going to say, we made a mistake, we really shouldn't have raised those taxes, we're going to refund them to you? No way. They'll just keep right on going. But my point is that the crisis that everybody was talking about a couple of months ago has simply evaporated. Likewise in Maryland, the governor has advocated slot machines, which is very controversial, especially among Christian conservatives. But he said, we have to have this in order to balance the budget. Well, now it looks as if the budget is going to balance without anything like that, and as a result, now the leader of the Maryland state, the speaker of the lower house, is saying, we're not going to pass slots. Earlier in the year, he had said, all right, I guess we don't have any alternative. We've got, these draconian budget cuts coming, and I just can't face my constituents, so even though I'm against slots, I'm going to have to move them along. Now he is saying, we don't need to do it because we have the increased revenue that will end up balancing the budget. And I'm telling you that not all, of course, but a good substantial portion of the federal deficit will disappear as well. And you mark my word. Now, of course, if Kerry gets in and he keeps his promise and he repeals much of Bush's tax cuts, that's an entirely different matter. Then, I think we will have huge deficits and they'll keep getting worse and so on. But I would not say that we could, cure the whole problem simply by tax cuts, but I'll bet you that the problem is going to end up being less than half of what was predicted last year.
In other words, you think that this $550 billion deficit they're talking about is really only going to be about half that?
I do, yes.
All right, well...
you can check to see whether I'm right, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on and recant.
Well,
I am not an economist, and so... I have a disadvantage in one sense, in that I don't know a lot of these things, but I have an advantage in another sense, in that I can think clearly. I don't have to be encumbered by all kinds of theories and notions. I'm just looking at what's going on.
Well, you've been around for a long time, Paul, and I have the greatest admiration for your experience, and so we're just going to have to wait and see. I'll have to admit I'm not as optimistic as you are. I hope that you're right and that I'm wrong. Only time is going to tell. But
that's right.
My concern, of course, if the war continues, and how do you feel about the war? We're going to have to take a break here in just a minute, but what are we going to do about this war? We're going to, obviously we can't pull out, there'd be chaos, but if we stay there, why we seem to be losing a lot of the support from many of the people in the Arab nations. Let's get to that question as soon as we get back from this short break, right here at Radio Liberty.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, In Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention to you that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters here, and we think it's a great thing to have. It makes the water taste great, number one, and secondly, just in case there should ever be some complications or problems here, it would be great for you to be able to know that you could filter lake water or pool water or pond water or river water, and you'd at least have a source of water when a lot of people might not. And you go over to Iraq today, but they still don't have in many of the areas adequate water, at least water available full time. And this is a year after the war, almost a year after the war has ended. So let me just point out that there's nothing wrong with having a water filter. The water will taste a lot better. Now the Big Berkey will take out most of the herbicides and pesticides and most of the bad things that in the water. Certainly it takes out the bacteria and the cryptosporidium and things of that sort. This is the type of filter that people who work in the missionary field have been using for 150 years. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It filters 2 gallons at a time, about 24 gallons a day. It's available for $279, but it's not available in California because of the bureaucrats in Sacramento. However, the Berkey Light is a wonderful filter. It's made of Lexan. It only costs $199, and you can actually see the water levels of the difference between the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light is that the filters and the Big Berkey can be cleaned over and over again. The filters in the Berkey Light will last about 2 years, but it does a far better job at the end of 2 years if you're using it full time, where you're going to have to replace those filters. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and hopefully order either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we've got a couple of people on the line. Paul, is it all right if we take a couple of callers before we get to work?
Of course.
All right, let's go to Ken, who's calling from San Jose. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Okay, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, I was wondering if you know where I can get a copy of the Patriot Act. I called my congressman or congresswoman's office up at Zoe Lofgren, and they really gave me the runaround about it. They sent me a summary, and then I asked for the whole act, and, you know,
Do you have a computer?
No, I don't have easy access to a computer.
All right. Paul, do you have any idea where a full copy of the Patriot Act would be available?
I think it is available at the Justice Department's website.
Well, of course, if he doesn't have a computer, I'll tell you what, Ken, we would have to charge you to give you a copy of it, but we have a full copy of it, and if you can call us off the air at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, and we could tell you what it would cost just to run off a copy for you. Okay, it's about 150, 160 pages, but we could certainly make it available to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay. Oh, and my producer says he knows you, and you have his address. But you give us. I'm going to put you on the line for my producer. They'll take your number, and I'll call you right back. Okay, after the program. Okay, and so we've got Fred Ken on the line, and let's go to Fred and Salinas. Fred, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I just had a comment. I just want to tell your guest that I was watching a hearing today on C-SPAN, and it looked like there's a big drive now, a big push to make a lot of the provisions in the USA Patriot Act that had sunset laws that were supposed to come in 2005. It looks like they're going to try and make the whole thing permanent now. Is what?
Oh, that's right.
That's sure what I understood today.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There are certain provisions of the bill that were what is called sunsetted. That is to say, they expire, even though the rest of the bill would continue. And they expire unless Congress explicitly reverses that expiration. And
it sure looks like that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, it is what's happening because the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, has become convinced that those of us who are critics of the Patriot Act have it all wrong. And so he is moving ahead with it. Now, I don't think we'll see a vote on it in this Congress. In a very real sense, it may take a Kerry victory in order to defeat that act, and I'm not advocating that. I'm just telling you that you know, Kerry has come out against it. Bush is militantly in favor of it, and you know, right now the Republicans control the Congress, and so they are saying, you know, we want to continue.
But I mean, there's certainly there are conservative congressmen there who say we don't want this at all. So there is really a division within the Republican Party.
It was the conservatives that really wanted it to continue.
Not the real conservatives. Those are the well, in my estimation.
Unfortunately, there aren't many of them, and some of them, like Dick Armey, for example, who in the last Congress really fought to get those sunset provisions in the bill. Well, he's no longer majority leader. And Tom DeLay, who took his place, is not as enthused about those provisions as Dick Armey was.
Right, and I wish that Dick Armey was there myself. I think he was a good man. Anyway, thanks so much for calling, Fred. And let's go to Dave calling in from Illinois. Dave, did you have a question or comment?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, real quick comment about the economy. I was just distracted during that part of the program, so I didn't exactly hear what your guest said about it. But I did know he's rather optimistic about it. I want to remind him that, you know, this free trade over the Americas, I think we'll get, whether no matter who wins the White House, if we get the FTAA, we're going to see the job leaves this country in a whirlwind.
All right, let's get Paul's response to that. How do you feel about NAFTA and the free trade zone of the Americas?
I never favored it. I would not have voted for it. I urged people I have some influence with to vote against it. But it has a momentum behind it which is unlike practically anything that you can talk about.
Like maybe the people really believe in globalization.
Yeah, they do, and they claim there are all these benefits and everything. I have yet to see them.
Right, I agree with you totally. Dave, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, a quick comment. I'm worried, gentlemen, about this country's future, the Patriot Act and everything, is that, you know, what our founding fathers said, that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And look at the American people right now. There's such apathy and complacency. There is that. When I look at my fellow Americans, I see zero vigilance. I mean zero.
Well,
and that's why I'm concerned.
All right. I share your concern, Dave, but believe me, I'm on the front lines of this battle, and I see an awful lot of people who are waking up to what's going on. So, and I think that one of the things that's waking them up is this war over in Iraq. How do you feel about, first of all, our going into the war in Iraq, and secondly, our staying in the war in Iraq?
Well, now that we're there, I don't see that we have any alternative but to continue to stay there. There was a real question about our going there in the first place. I think it now has been clear that it was based on faulty intelligence. Why George Tenet is still CIA director, I will never understand. I mean, you know, he clearly gave Bush misleading and false information. And, you know, if I had been president and somebody had presented me with what George Tenet presented George Bush, I'd have probably made the same decision. Because I think he genuinely thought he was protecting the people of the United States, but it turns out that he wasn't.
Well, I wish you were the President of the United States, and I will vote for you any time, Paul. Let's go to back to Dave, calling back again from Illinois. Now, Dave, do you have a question?
Well, a quick comment here. As far as what's happening, what you guys are talking about, I agree with this war. You know, one thing that really bothers me a lot is that 9/11 occurred. We're in this question. We're now in this, what I think is a totally unconstitutional war. And beyond a doubt, tremendous mistakes have been made, beyond a doubt. And gentlemen, I'm seeing no accountability. I mean, none.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is just not right.
And in fact, nobody has yet to be fired for all the mistakes of 9/11 and for the faulty intelligence. You have to ask yourself, why? Thanks so much, Dave. I think your point's... the situation with the...
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.